I'm Cherise Seppert, and this is Above Board. On the 24th of February 2022, the world watched in horror as Russia attacked Ukraine. What began as a rapid advance on multiple fronts quickly evolved into a grinding war of attrition, with devastating humanitarian, economic, and geopolitical consequences. Nearly 4 years on, the conflict remains entrenched. Matthew Karasov is a young Ukrainian living in Jerusalem. His family are still there. And he's my guest now to tell me more. Matthew, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Hello, hi, thank you for having me. Happy to, yes.
Matthew, were you living in the Ukraine 4 years ago?
Yes, I was living in the Ukraine. I was living in my hometown. Berdychev is the famous Jewish city in Ukraine. So I was living there for first 2 weeks of the start of the war. Then me and my family moved to Poland. Then 3 months, after 3 months, moved back to Ukraine, and since that time, I wasn't living in Ukraine. We were living in my hometown, Berdychev, and we moved a year after to the Kyiv, where it was like the situation was hotter. It was more difficult in Kyiv, but it was still better than in my hometown. We were there for the whole almost 4 years.
Where are
So
your
yeah, it
par
was,
where were you
yes.
where are your parents at the moment?
They're still there. They're in Kyiv, Ukraine. They're still there with my sister, with my grandparents, and yeah, they're all here.
Wow, it must be extremely stressful. Tell me what it was like when on the 24th of February, when Russia invaded.
We woke up at 5 a.m. Like the whole family woke up, and I just saw my parents. They were outside. They were smoking a cigarette. They were watching the people go into the one direction, the direction of the border with Poland, because they just wanted to escape all of this. All the gas stations were empty because there was no gas. I just woke up. I was watching the news, the Russia attack. There were bombs. Luckily, my hometown wasn't bombed, but at the same day, Kyiv was attacked. There were military tanks. There were the air operations on the Kyiv, and also military operations on Kharkiv. They were the main regions they wanted to attack, but my hometown was it was relatively okay in there. Yes.
I mean, the war has dragged on for 4 years. At that time, did you think it would be such a long-lasting war?
No. No, nobody did, because everybody thought it's gonna be like 1 week or 2 weeks, because Russia is not gonna attack Ukraine for that long, because everyone knew that Russia would be in an economical crisis. They would be locked up, like in political way. They would be like not a world country. We thought that it's just a suicidal for Russia. And now, when it's 4 years later, we all know that maybe it would last for like a year more, 2 years more. Nobody knows, because they're ready to continue the war. So yeah, we all of us thought it was going to be 2 weeks maximum. So yeah.
It's incredibly long, and the fact that you say that you think at least another year, does that mean there is no hope for some kind of peaceful solution negotiation?
There is hope. Everybody hopes in Ukraine, especially when the another meeting of politicians is set up. We all hope that there's going to be some type of agreement, not very profitable for Ukraine maybe, but it's a peace deal. But there's not much hope left, to be honest. We're just in this condition of war, and we're like, maybe it will last, maybe it will not. Like, nobody cares. We're still living in the situation. We are just living. That's it.
How often do you speak to your parents?
Every week, at least every week. I'm trying to get a contact with them, because it's very hard there. It's very cold out there. There's no electricity, etc. I want to be in touch with them every day.
Yeah, it must be so incredibly stressful. Where is the military campaign in terms of property? Where is the campaign at the moment?
Where's the campaign? Where's the Russians are at the moment?
Yes. Like, what has Russia occupied? What has Ukraine fought back on?
At the start of the war, like the war started back in the 2014, Russia occupied the region of Luhansk and Donetsk. It was like 15% of Ukrainian territory. Then at the 2022, they attacked, they gained like 25 or 30% of Ukrainian territory. And then after 1 year, Ukraine regained some of the regions. And now the situation is still after like in the last 2 years, Russia occupied 4,000 square kilometers of space, but it's like 0.2% of Ukrainian territory, so it's nothing. They basically the front line is now has now stopped. They're at the same place they've been like 2 years ago. Yes, so now it's on the eastern Ukraine. That's it.
Wow, it's incredible to think what's going to happen. What was it like for you personally leaving Ukraine and going to Israel, especially with Iran possibly hanging heavily in the air?
I was preparing for this, for the moving to Israel since 2022. I was ready to make Aliyah, and I was planning this the whole time. I was hoping, I was waiting for the day that I will live to Israel because I know it's a better place. I will have much happier life in there than in Ukraine because even after the war ends, it's not going to be a good place. So yeah, I was preparing for this. I was very sad when I was leaving Ukraine, especially my parents and my best friends, but I know that it's all gonna be for good, so I just hoping I'm seeing in the future and I'm seeing the happiness. So yeah, I'm just hoping for it, not in the moment. So yeah.
The Ukrainian Jewish community have been also very been in that country for a very long time. What is the mood for Jewish Ukrainians?
Luckily, Jewish communities are keeping the good mood in Jewish people in Ukraine, especially like for example, my grandma. She's like 100% Jewish. She's very religious. She's going to Shabbat every Friday. She's keeping in touch with all the Jewish community. There's not much people left, but still they're here. They're speaking to each other. They're in touch. They're in touch also with rabbis in here. With rabbis in Latvia, with rabbis in Poland, with rabbis in the US, they all talking, they're learning Torah. And also the Jewish community, they're helping to another Jewish people because my grandma, she doesn't have a lot of money. She receives the help from the Jewish government. Also, she gets the aid as food. She gets the another utensils for the kitchen, and etc. She like the Jewish community is really helping Jewish people in Ukraine. They really do keep a good mood in them. So yeah, and also like all of them want to move to Israel, of course. All of people I know that are Jewish in Ukraine, they want to move to Israel.
Matthew, kind of what do you expect to see in the upcoming days in terms of the fourth year?
To the
Do, I
fourth
mean,
year,
do you
I
think there's going
would
to be more pressure? Do you think that Trump is in power, there's going to be more pressure?
I don't think so. We just if we're talking about the Trump has said that when he will be elected as the legal president of the United States, he will end the Russo-Ukrainian war in 24 hours. But he didn't do it, so nobody hopes on him. Nobody says that Trump will save us. Ukrainian people think more that nobody helps them except themselves. So yes, and like I didn't even see a hope for ending the war in like in my friends that I speak to. Only what they said that it's the fourth year of the war and we should donate more for the Russia for the Ukrainian army, and we should be better people for ourselves at the first place. So yeah, it's just another reminder that war is continuing for 4 years and we should be stronger than ever.
Are you disappointed in the lack of help from other Western countries?
No, like we like in help from US at this time, But the European Union is more active than ever. The France is producing shells for Ukraine. They're producing tanks, especially for us to be sold to Ukraine. And also, the Germany is helping us very much, and Norway, they're giving us the F-16s. Also, the Netherlands gave us 12 F-16s recently, so we're feeling more help from the European Union. They're really helping the last, I guess, year. Yes.
Okay. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for joining me. I'm kind of disheartened by the fact that 4 years on, it still continues and that there is so little hope. But I'm pleased that you are safe in Israel, and hopefully the rest of your family and the community will follow.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's Matthew Karasov, a young Ukrainian living in Jerusalem.